This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Kara Miller. As we continue our discussion of how medicine is changing, we turn to a woman who wants to shake it up a little bit, someone who wants entrepreneurs to introduce game-changing innovations to doctors' offices, to hospitals, much in the same way that if you've got a fantastic iPhone app, you can get it into the App Store and pretty quickly onto your phone. And joining you first is Nina Nashif, the founder of HealthBox. Nina Nashif, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I have to first ask you, when you came up with this idea of let's bring entrepreneurs into the healthcare space, where were you? What were you doing? Why did this occur to you?
I was actually working for Sandbox Industries at the time, and we manage a large venture fund for Blue Cross Blue Shield. And we see a lot of deal flow and a lot of companies that come to us for investment, but we aren't able to fund all these companies. And so there are a lot of companies that go unfunded, and there's a lot of great ideas. And so what my initial thought was that we need to fill this funding gap and we need to support entrepreneurs. So we developed a program, a platform in order to do that. But what we've quickly realized is that it's more than just about funding. It's about access to the industry. And so it quickly became less about funding and more about having a platform to help entrepreneurs get the knowledge they need in order to build solutions that will actually be bought by the healthcare industry.
Yeah, and I know you found out when you were starting this that the people who do the buying in healthcare, you know, the people who go out and buy whatever, the computers or the linens, they're used to going back to the same vendors over and over and over.
Exactly. So there's a paradigm shift that needs to happen in the industry because the healthcare organizations traditionally go to the big box vendors and they don't know about the solutions that exist in the marketplace. So we have a dual mission at HealthBox to really help them learn how to work with entrepreneurs and learn about the new solutions that are easier and quicker to implement and sometimes can be less expensive. But there's a transition and a paradigm shift that has to happen in the market in terms of how solutions are curated as well as implemented in these organizations. So it's a big change for the industry.
So you've got these entrepreneurs, you know, often young people, just two, three, four of them coming up with an idea, and they don't know how to make that connection. So it could be the greatest idea in the world, but they have no idea how to get it into your doctor's office.
Exactly. So it's different in healthcare than in tech. So in tech, an entrepreneur can sit behind their computer and they can code away all night and be releasing iterations of their product. And in the healthcare industry, it involves understanding the complexity of the industry and how you're actually going to get paid for it. And so that the person who's paying for the solution is different than the person who's ultimately going to use it. And as healthcare, just we're in the midst of a major transition in the industry. So for an entrepreneur who's just starting out, it's really hard to navigate all the nuances of the system to figure out who's actually going to buy it, which keeps them in business.
So what was the idea of HealthBox? You created this incubator. What did you want to do?
HealthBox has a dual mission. And as I mentioned earlier, we initially set out to support entrepreneurs. But now we feel like we're a catalyst in the healthcare industry. And we really want to affect change and give the industry an opportunity to learn about new solutions. And so this platform that we've developed is to support innovation and entrepreneurship in the healthcare industry. And it's really exciting to work with these young, energetic entrepreneurs and companies that really want to make a difference as well. So we see ourselves as a much more broader change agent now.
And how in Boston, how many entrepreneurs, small companies did you bring together into HealthBox to try to say, okay, let's try to grow these businesses and really make it something that could change the healthcare industry?
So we had several hundred companies that applied to be part of the program, and Boston was a great place to bring the platform just because of the strength of the entrepreneurial community, as well as the healthcare community and then what's happening academically here. So we sifted through over 200 applications and ended up interviewing about 45 companies and then selecting 10 that came together for 3 months. And we provided some seed capital as well as a mentor network and access to the industry to help them get in and start getting access to pilots as well as advice on how they needed to tweak their product to make it something that the industry would actually buy.
Let me bring in Tony Driscoll from Continuum. I know you've been working with HealthBox. Let's just take a step back for a minute and look at the healthcare industry the way it is right now. what kind of problems do you see in terms of what's the entrepreneurial spirit that's not being addressed?
Yeah, Nina actually mentioned a couple of them. One of the big things that I saw, I guess, through the lens of these startups was just the sheer complexity that healthcare is for these startups. It's daunting for these folks that are, like you said, just starting out to move into an industry where there's many, many stakeholders and subsegments within healthcare. So, for instance, a startup moving into a hospital system, they may not just be going in there to solve a problem for a patient. It's the clinician that has to actually provide that service to them, and then selling that product may have to go through the clinical administrator. It may have to go through a CTO's organization. And it may have to be ultimately purchased by a CFO. So there's all these different stakeholders that they have to navigate through, and that's far more complex than a direct-to-consumer sort of business model, like Nina was saying. If in some of these more direct-to-consumer models, an iPhone app, for instance, a young person could be sitting in their dorm room coding one of these things overnight and having it out in the market the next morning.
And is that a real problem with healthcare, that you're going through the chief technology officer and the chief financial officer, which you were referencing there, instead of just saying, oh, here's my app, and if you like it, you know, download it to your phone?
Absolutely, because these people become barriers to getting to the folks that the startups actually want to get to and solve a problem for. So a lot of these startups are coming in with these great ideas to make a doctor's life easier, to give them more information to make better decisions. But in order to get to those doctors in some of these big systems, they have to go through many, many different stakeholders to even have the conversation sometimes, let alone a pilot or a trial or something like that.
And Nina Nashif, let me ask you, what is a really interesting idea that you've seen come out of HealthBox that either has or you think has the real potential to make life in a hospital or a doctor's office better?
So, of course, I have to choose something that came out of the Boston
program. Okay, great.
You know, it's not always these like really big, obvious problems that we think about. So one company that came through is called Gweepy Medical. And I actually brought this this diaper. They do a smart brief.
Okay.
And it makes a nurse's job easier in a nursing facility or in a long-term care facility, because instead of having when they're doing their rounds on the floor, instead of having to go and check every patient to see whether they're wet or not, there's a sensor that's applied to the outside of the diaper, and that is actually being tracked on a dashboard. So they can see when the patient is wet, and it helps them manage incontinence within the facility. So they can actually just go change the diapers much more quickly than changing everybody's diapers. They can do it when the patient's actually wet. So patients don't actually sit in a wet diaper for a long period of time. So clever, you know, not... It's a disposable,
little tiny microchip.
Yeah, disposable sensor that's placed on the outside of the diaper. But no one's come up with something like this, and nurses feel like this is just something that improves their workflow and makes them so much more effective in caring for incontinent patients.
It's interesting, because we've talked to David Rose on this show, an entrepreneur who started a company called Vitality. And one of the things he did is took the little amber pill bottle that everybody knows, and he put a microchip in the cap so that you would know, and the pill bottle knows, if you haven't opened it that day, i.e. you've forgotten to take your medication, or you think, oh, you know, I don't need really to take my medication. And it'll text you. It'll remind you and say, yeah, you need to take, or it'll remind your daughter or your son who's living across the country, you know, you need to take your medication. Let me turn to Lohan Adamovic, who created, we were talking about apps before, and you created an app for health, and you're working at HealthBox now. Describe your app and how it aims to help people.
Thank you for having me, Kara. This is phenomenal. The HealthBox program has been fantastic for us, because it's given us access to mentors, professionals with expertise in healthcare that we didn't have. So what Bon App does is it tells you what's in your food. How simple is that, right? I mean, but it tells you in a language you understand for the first time, and it's voice powered. So you talk to your phone, you say pizza, or you say taco, and you're going to have the list of all the tacos around you, and you click on one of them, and you see what I mean by the language you understand is salt, sugar, and bad fat. And that's exactly what we call it. So people can identify the stuff that's healthier for them. That's the key.
So tell me some foods that you consistently hear from people, whoa, I didn't know how much sugar was in that or how much fat was in that. I thought this was a fairly healthy food.
It happens all the time. I mean, we have like users telling us, oh my God, this must be wrong. Yogurt? I only eat plain non-fat yogurt, and you're telling me there's 11 grams of sugar in my 6-ounce yogurt? It's true. There's sugar in lactose. People don't realize that. And there are many examples. But the real power of the app, it's so simple that Bon App can be used by kids. Like yesterday, I had a woman from Baton Rouge write to us and say, my 6-year-old daughter, Lydia, she's able to use Bon App. And she told me, she first played because she was fun. You know, I can play, I can talk to the app, and hey, it comes. But now she actually looks at the content and she said, Mom, look, in your honey and oats granola bar, there's bad fat.
Tony Driscoll, how much do you see this sort of creative, really kind of outside the box thinking coming into healthcare from people who they're not in the industry necessarily?
It's great now because of, I think, programs like HealthBox. You're getting a lot of people that didn't know how to even begin to approach this industry that because of programs like this now have a way to get in. And you are getting a lot of people that are coming from varied backgrounds too. A lot of the startups that I think were in HealthBox weren't necessarily coming from a healthcare background themselves. They were taking a lot of skills and experiences from different markets and applying them to this one specifically because of the mechanism that was set up through HealthBox.
Now, how interested, in your view, how interested is the healthcare industry in changing versus just going back to the same old supplier who sold them the same old stuff last year and the year before? They've got their phone number and it's easy to do.
I think from what I've seen and from what I've heard in talking to folks, there's a tremendous amount of sincere interest in changing. I think the bigger barrier and challenge for all of them is more the structural one of it. Again, this is a very complex industry with a lot of things that it's very high stakes. It's a very risky industry to innovate in. And so folks they're a little conservative and it's challenging to try to navigate even their own organizations sometimes to get things accomplished that they really, truly want to do.
And tell me one thing that you've seen either in the Boston program or elsewhere as sort of interesting, unusual idea that you think has the potential to make healthcare better.
Well, Bon App is a good one. I think Gweepy is actually a really interesting one. There's another company called iQuartic that I think is kind of interesting too, in that we've got some pretty qualified scientists. I think they're out of MIT, if I'm not mistaken, that are doing machine learning across data sets. So they're taking all of these disparate data sets within the healthcare systems that today are kind of siloed off in their own areas, and they're putting all those together and looking for correlations and connections between data. And these are connections and insights that are being gained that people just haven't had access to before. And so they're allowing doctors and healthcare providers generally to make better decisions now on things that they can get paid for. So improving outcomes specifically that the hospitals can then generate revenue from. These guys are able to pinpoint actionable insights.
It's interesting. We've talked to doctors about reforming healthcare, and one of the things they say is so much of the problem is a data-driven problem. So, for example, there are over 5 million pap smears every year given to people who've had their ovaries and cervixes removed. But the data doesn't exist, so the doctor does a test that is completely unnecessary because nobody's been put – it seems so simple, but nobody's been putting the data together for them. And, okay, so Nina Nash, if I wonder, what's your hope going forward for what HealthBox is going to do in Boston and how it might change the healthcare industry?
So we had the pleasure of working with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts as our anchor partner and investor here in Boston. And as we look to the future here, we want to have a permanent presence and really bring together others from the healthcare community. And I think most importantly, we want to create an ecosystem that represents a subset of the industry here. So getting others more engaged, getting a large hospital provider, an employer, a physician group, so that we have access to the industry for our entrepreneurs. So we plan to run another program here, bring more entrepreneurs in, and really engage the local community to be more open and teach them how to work with entrepreneurs and really test these new ideas.
And I know one of the first health boxes was in Chicago. So how did it work there in terms of, have you seen implementation of any of the really interesting ideas that people came up with?
Absolutely. So we had 10 companies that went through the program there. 9 of the 10 companies decided to raise money at the end of the 3 months. and six of the nine companies have raised over $3 million. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, examples of some of these companies that came into the program maybe with one or two pilot sites. Throughout the program, they gained more traction and they acquired more pilots. And now that they're 6 months out, they have 10 pilots in the market. So, you know, these companies get exposure to the media. They get exposure to new partners and access to information that they wouldn't necessarily have. So their development is much more rapid than if they were working on this on their own. So we're starting to see the model really take effect and really have an impact.
What is one of those companies and what do they do?
So this company that I'm actually describing is called SwipeSense.
Okay.
And it was actually founded by two Northwestern grads. So they're 22, 23-year-olds. And they initially came into the program with a device that clips onto a nurse's scrubs. And it dispenses just the right amount of alcohol. So instead of a nurse having to go to the soap and sink or having to go to the wall, a wall-mounted hand sanitizer, they actually just swipe their hand down this device that's on their scrub. So they're mimicking the motion of a child wiping their hands. So it's a natural kind of tendency. And when they came into the HealthBox program, we really helped them and challenged them to think about what business are you really in? Are you developing this device or are you trying to tackle hand hygiene and helping a hospital actually track hand hygiene compliance? So they ended up putting a sensor in this little device. And now there's a dashboard. So it's a product and a data company. So there's a dashboard that actually helps the charge nurse on call actually know how often the nurses have complied and actually swiped their hand on the device. So they were the most dynamic group in the Chicago program and have 10 pilots that they're about to launch. They're starting some of them and have more in the queue and have raised over $1 million. So they're on their way to really building a successful company.
It's interesting because Atul Gawande, who's a local doctor, has written about how hygiene is so mm-hmm. – it's underestimated how important it is in keeping you healthy in a hospital and not allowing cross-contamination, that kind of thing. And Laurent Domwich, let me finally ask you from Bon App, what do you hope that this app, this idea of people keeping track of their food and saying, oh, I had pizza and a salad for lunch – what do you hope that will do in terms of changing or getting into the healthcare space? Will it be used by doctors and nurses?
Yes, I think that's very right. And that's where HealthBox has come in and helped us analyze this market. Because at the end of the day, we're also a data company, a data analytics tool, where you can put in the hands of the doctors, the hands of the insurers, data about what people eat, but in a way that's never been looked at before. Not just the food, but the nutrients. And say for a cardiologist at Brigham, like we've been talking to, for their post-surgery patients, the knowledge of how much salt and how much bad fat and how much sugar their intake is key because you want to track the blood pressure. You want to track those nutrients. So there are many areas now where we see the opportunity. And again, thanks to HealthBox, it's opened doors for us to the health insurance world with Blue Cross Blue Shield. We're finalizing the terms of a pilot where we would give this information to the company so that, say, 3,000 employees now can track with Bon App and see their sugar, their salt, their bad fat, their calories, and have a read of how they're doing.
So is the idea then that you might keep track of what you're doing, but maybe if you had heart surgery or you see a cardiologist, maybe the cardiologist can also keep track of, well, you're doing really well with sodium, but not so well on the fat side or on the sugar side.
That's exactly right. That's the goal. That's what we're doing. And it's empowering the doctor, the insurer, the whole chain to really have a say and say, hey, we can send this user a message. We can readjust their goals. We can say, you should be at 1,500 milligrams of salt as a daily goal, not 2,300 like the USDA is telling you.
We've been talking about changes in medicine with a focus on rethinking the way that medical care is delivered and developed. And I've been speaking with Nina Nashif, the founder of HealthBox, Tony Driscoll from Continuum, and Laurent Adamowicz, the creator of Bon App. Thank you all so much for joining us. Great discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. So what does it mean to travel the unfriendly skies? Kelly Crossley will be bringing you a story about how changes in American Airlines could affect people on the job at Logan Airport. I'm Kara Miller, and you're listening to Boston Public Radio.